Love's Portrait of Her Beloved. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Song of Solomon 5, verse 10. The slight indifference or preoccupation of the fair lady worked good for her. She learned to appreciate her friend so much the more. Therefore, when interrogated by the daughters about her love for him, she was moved to give a ninefold heart description of her beloved, found in the last 7 verses of chapter 5. First, the Shulamite described the beautiful complexion of Solomon. He is white. He was a white man with rosy cheeks. Then she spoke of his health and vigor. He is ruddy, of red, firm health. We may thus know the Lord. White speaks of holiness, which is Christ's beauty. David longed to dwell in God's house and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He also prayed, saying, "Let the beauty or pleasantness of the Lord our God be upon us." Psalm 27, verse 4, and Psalm 90, verse 17. He declared the Lord to be the health of his countenance, Psalm 42, 11, and the saving strength of his anointed, Psalm 28, 8. How precious to know Christ as indeed the holy and strong one. Holiness is his chief charm. It radiates from him and captures bridal saints. Then the Shulamite compared her friend with others. He is the chiefest among 10,000. The Revised Version says, "marked out by a banner." The number 10,000 was a common number of great comparison or contrast. Thus, David exceeded Saul in warfare. 1 Samuel 21:11. Paul thus magnified his father's care and the value of God's word. 1 Corinthians 4:15 and 1 Corinthians 14:19. Hence, in the Shulamite's eye, there was none to compare with her beloved. None could carry the nation's banner like Solomon. What an imposing picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved reader, is Jesus the chiefest to you? Has he the warmest place in your affections? Does he occupy the throne room of your counsels? Is he all in all to you? The portrait detailed. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. Song of Solomon 5, verse 11. The head speaks of intelligence, nobility, lore, position, and authority. Being of gold, it indicates the deity of our Lord. It suggests his holy intelligence and wisdom and is prophetic of his reign over the nations. The reign of Nebuchadnezzar was only transient. His glitter was brief and perishing. But the golden rod of the Son of Man will never lose its luster nor pass away. The bushy black hair speaks of beautiful, vigorous manhood. Jesus was all this when he laid down his life for the redemption of the race. It was not while he was yet of tender youth, nor did he wait till he became wearied with years of toil. In the zenith of his vigorous manhood, Jesus put away our sins and our old man and brought up from the dead a new creation. He will never change from that vigorous, healthy, splendid state. He will bear the matured bloom of manhood, but never grow old. His eyes are as the eyes of doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. Song of Solomon 5:12. The dove's eyes are very keen and far-seeing. If she is away from home and in a strange place, she ascends straight upward, gazes till she locates the direction of her home, and then swiftly flies in that direction. Solomon's sight was keen. He wore no eye crutches, yet he spied his foes afar off. The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Dove's eyes indicate that Jesus searched and saw by the enablings of the Spirit. His discoveries were from above. He read nothing, probed nothing, saw nothing with a fleshly eye. He beheld as his Father did. He looked at every object in providence in the light of Scriptures. They were washed with milk, the pure milk of the Word. They were clean and clear and sparkling. Yes, his eyes were fitly set, full, set in fullness. He possessed a full vision of every object and a full understanding of all things. Jesus' eyes were in the right place in his head, fitly set. That speaks of his rightly dividing the word of truth. He also discerned his friends and foes, reading the love of the one and the treachery of the other. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. Song of Solomon 5:13a. They stand out full and flush. This implies health and life. Their appearance is beautiful. They emit a fragrance or perfume. In the margin, they are regarded as towers of perfume or banks of sweet herbs in the Revised Version. In the natural, it was said of Jesus that he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah 53:2. But to faith in the Spirit, he is most attractive. The perfume of his face makes one feel as though he were in the presence of flowers of the sweetest odors. Let us stay in his presence till we become so saturated with this divine aroma that we shall unconsciously cast it upon others. The flowers suggest the fragrance of Christ's holiness, which appeals to the scent of spiritual people. His lips are as lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Song of Solomon 5:13b. She had kissed her beloved. That is how she knew. Song of Solomon 1 verse 2. There is a peculiar richness, softness, and sweetness to a lily that makes it charmingly beautiful. The myrrh-like odor of a lily is exquisitely sweet. The very appearance of lily-like lips must therefore be exceedingly attractive and expressive. They are the outward expression of inward affection. They are also the communicative members of such affection, as it is written, "So will we render the calves of our lips." Hosea 14 verse 2. We will offer to the Lord fervent praise and adoration for graciously pardoning our sins and receiving us to himself. How much sweeter to us are the words of Christ when we know him as our coming bridegroom. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. Song of Solomon 5:14. The Shulamite has forgotten about her own myrrh-dropping hands. The Revised Version, or in the margin, says, "cylinders of gold," or "wide band-like rings of gold." The Hebrew word galil is translated ring in only one other place in Scripture, and that's Esther 1 verse 6. The hangings in the palace of Shushan were fastened to silver rings and pillars of marble. This use of the word ring and the fact that the word also means cylinder indicates that they speak of strength. The hand figures power, either to work or to war. It is also the instrument of authority and comfort. The beryl, or topaz in the Revised Version, is the arrow stone, the hardest substance known to the ancients for cutting. Solomon's hands appeared to his fair lady like strong, wide, golden bands, beautified with a setting of sparkling beryl, topaz, or chrysolite. In Song of Solomon 2, verse 6, we heard her say, "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." She is held by the strength of his mighty hand. She is eternally secure. What pen pictures these are of our heavenly bridegroom! In his head we behold holy, divine wisdom. Song of Solomon 5:11. In his eyes we see divine discernment. Song of Solomon 5, verse 12. By his cheeks we are awed with the fragrance and sweetness of his holy character. Song of Solomon 5:13a. Then from his love-lit lips drop words of myrrh-like tenderness and love. Song of Solomon 5:13b. Now our eyes fall upon his hands, the instruments of never-failing comfort, strength, ministry, and defense. The gold speaks to us of Christ's unchangeable deity and glory. The cylinders speak of his all-sufficient power. Their ring-like appearance declares the eternity of that power, for a ring has no end. Then the beryl announces the flinty endurance of Christ's service and the unwearying care and comfort for his own. Symmetrical, beautiful, powerful, wonderful, and glorious are his hands. So many precious things are said of the Lord's hand in the Bible. For example, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand." Psalm 89, verse 13. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand." Psalm 95, verse 7. His body is as bright ivory work, overlaid or encrusted with sapphires. Song of Solomon 5:14, Revised Version. Certainly the lady of our song has lost sight of her own attractiveness, being charmed by the grandeur of her beloved. Ivory is a hard, white, bony substance. Sapphire is a very beautiful stone, sky blue or red and blue and yellow mixed in an exquisite blend. It is incomparably precious. Job 28:16. What a view the Shulamite had of the king's body! But this is a marvelous picture of the body of our glorified Lord. Paul calls it his glorious body, or the body of his glory. Philippians 3:21, the Revised Version. How wonderfully glorious he will be! His entire body will appear like the brightest ivory, polished and firm, encrusted, not simply set with one sapphire stud, but overlaid with variegated sapphires of the most charming beauty. It will seem like a huge form of exquisite beauty and dazzling light. People think that it is wonderful to receive a diamond, but our heavenly bridegroom will be covered with gems, sparkling, bright, and glorious. This all speaks of the immovableness and unchangeableness of the character and glory of our Lord, and of the fixedness of his eternal purposes. No change, Jehovah knows. His grandeur will abide forever.